From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. We'll journey now to the American Southwest, to the time just after the Civil War. Slavery had ended, but racial tensions were still high, particularly involving American Indians.
There's a frequent comparison of the Apache to wolves, and this is a period when people want to wipe out wolves. And so if you think about the Apache as wolves, then unfortunately you start to do these incredibly violent things towards them.
That's historian Carl Jacoby. He's out with a new book called Shadows at Dawn. It tells the story of one of the darkest events in borderland history, the Camp Grant Massacre. On April 30th, 1871, more than 130 Apache were killed. They were living in a lonely canyon north of Tucson, Arizona. Many of the victims were women and children. And the perpetrators?
There had been a group of made up of about 100 people from Tucson, and it's a very motley group, as it were. It's a mixture of probably about 6 Americans, maybe about 20 to 30 ethnic Mexicans, and the rest are Tohono-O'odham Indians. And for 2 days, they've been traveling secretly at night from Tucson to reach Aravaipa Canyon. They reach it right in the early dawn hours. They surround it. The Apache camp is sort of in this canyon with very steep cliffs. The Americans and Mexicans go up to the cliff edges where they have rifles, and the Tohono-O'odham charge the floor of the canyon and attack the sleeping Apache campground.
And it's all coordinated. In fact, you have a number of incidents we couldn't even really begin to describe here on the radio. It's just as brutal as anything you could even imagine.
It is quite brutal. I mean, I guess the one thing I'd want to emphasize for readers is I feel like historians' roles really are to be truth tellers as much as we can and to look at these things and to record them accurately and tell people about them. I think the other thing that I did try to do in the book as a whole is try to look for these other moments of reconciliation and accommodation, and the fact that after the massacre, that one of the leaders of the massacre, Juan Elias, actually becomes friends with one of the Apache survivors, Captain Chiquito, again, I thought was kind of a striking counterpoint to this incredibly violent period, which I think we have yet to really acknowledge as a people how incredibly vehement the language was and the behavior was during the 1860s and 70s.
So what was the immediate reaction to the massacre? Were the leaders really secretive about what they had done, or did they boast about it?
This is, again, what's really striking. I guess we would imagine today that people would want to cover this up, but it seems to have been pretty much an open secret in Tucson as to who was involved. And one of the things that I found was particularly striking is that some of the Anglo-American participants actually create this historical society, and they really do it to preserve and enshrine the memory of this massacre, and that, to me, was quite striking.
There was a trial, and they did, after all, attack a group of Apaches on land that belonged to Camp Grant, named for President Ulysses Grant. So what was the federal reaction?
Well, this is the great irony here, is that President Grant had the policy, the peace policy, and which part of that was the notion of creating reservations. This was a very new move in Indian policy during this time period. So it was seen as a tremendous assault on federal policy to have people attacking Indians that are supposed to be on reservation under federal protection. Federal authorities prodded and finally were able to get officials in Arizona to have a trial in December of 1871 of 100 of the alleged participants. Now, no Apaches were ever called as witnesses. And it took the jury, which was made up of citizens, both ethnic Mexicans and Anglo-Americans from Tucson, it only took them 18 minutes to find all of the accused not guilty.
As a historian, what do you think we've learned from this incident that might be applied to contemporary ethnic violence?
Oh, that's an excellent question. That's really perhaps the central question. The way I wrote the book was to have 4 competing perspectives, and what I wanted to do is to get people to see the participants from the insider perspective and the outsider perspective, to see how people could seem very strange to one another, which explains the violence, but also on some level really to sympathize with all of the participants, even the people who are committing some of these really awful and horrific acts. And I think the lesson is maybe a very simple one in the end, which is to say that I think we all have this tremendous capacity to commit acts of violence for what we think are very good reasons. And I just want the book to be a sort of a check on that, to help people pause and try to consider things from different perspectives before we go down that route to violence.
Carl Jacoby, his new book is called Shadows at Dawn, A Borderlands Massacre and the Violence of History. He spoke to us from the studios of WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island. Thank you very much, Carl.
Thanks, Jackie.